Guys, you know they've been sponsoring the show for a while. Today's live podcast is sponsored by Space Rehearsal and Recording, a uniquely Austin experience preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists. Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery-lit corridors, and excellent parking, they have the space to help you with your creative endeavors. Join their customers that range from local and international musicians, acting troupes, yoga practitioners, performance artists, and many, many more, including myself. I am in the band Skyrocket. We have a room there. It is a beautiful room. We have windows that the sun shines in. We don't hear other people jamming. Unless we go walking around, you can kind of hear people a little bit, but you don't hear it in your room when you're in there working your shit out. Working on your vocals, working on, you know, little parts. You can record stuff, and you don't have, like, a heavy metal band playing next door in the room next to you. You know that's a big pain in the ass. I always hated that at other places that I've rehearsed. At Space, I do not encounter this problem. So, what you got to do is call them at 512-448-9518 and reserve yourself a room. Tell them that you heard about it on How Did I Get Here, and you will get one free hour. So go to spaceatx.com or call them 512-448-9518. Space Rehearsal and Recording. All right, let's get to this live podcast. Let's get down. Feel free to applaud. Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you for coming. The author of that song is right here tonight, Corey Glazer from the band Sheboygan. That's from their album, Triple Fantasy. If you ever wanted more than just one fantasy, talk to them. Thank you for coming tonight. I have a great show for you. My guests are my very good friend, Charlie Hodge. Yes, my dear friend, Graham Wilkinson, with the dreadlocks, and then my good friends and one of my favorite bands around town, Sphinx. Yeah. So we're going to sit down, we're going to talk tonight, we're going to get into it, and feel free at any point if you have a question, you know, find a good way to and a good time to pose it. My friend Kate's has it. Anyway, we are here at Strange Brew. This is for the listening audience in Austin, Texas, the best venue in town. They have awards. I thought they were right up here. But they are. They have awards. They're out here. Okay, good. So I'd like to thank Scott, Carlo, Kate, Catherine, and of course Jake for helping out tonight and making it all happen. So without further ado, I'm going to bring up my dear friend. He's the host of the Hodgecast. I'm a frequent guest on that show. He is a new dad, and he has just started tastypodcast.com. On which I have a podcast that is yet to come out. My friend, Charlie Hodge.
One, two, three, hit it.
Watch me. Watch me.
Hey, I got hey, it. Johnny.
You got to come closer.
Watch me. I got it. Hey. I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that this, tells this me what it's all about.
Doesn't it? Yeah, you know how to use a mic. Hello. Hey, congratulations. You just had a child.
Yeah,
your second.
A little boy, Henry, was born at the end of May. So we're a few weeks in. I'm a little delirious.
Yeah, is he keeping you up at night?
Oh, sometimes. You know, they get a little fussy, and then the mom gets fussy. Not really, honey. You're an angel. But, you know, the thing about the goose... You gotta don't piss off the goose.
I don't know if you guys
the phrase.
Yeah,
it's
don't
an old English phrase.
Because she lays the golden eggs. So you're losing sleep. I don't know if you guys know Charlie's wife, but she told me one time about 20 different things for the shocker.
Yeah,
like two in the pink and one in the stink. But she had like 20 of them that she said she'd been working on all night.
Some of them are. The greatest I've ever heard. Like, two in the Pink Floyd, one in the Dark Side of the Moon. Like, she came up with that. That's brilliant.
Becca Hodge. Class act.
Two in the Beaver, one to check for fever. I'll be remembering them sporadically throughout the night. But that's for you, honey. You're the best.
How are things going?
Going pretty good, you know, just podcasting, you know, marketing.
Yeah.
My the fine folks at All About Vapor.
Yep.
And in my new podcast network, which I've been finding creative ways to kind of skirt around in emails. And really what I'm saying is I don't have any time right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I just come up with ways to, you know, dress it up. Like, it's not just the new kid. I've also, you know, started repairing speedboats at night. And, you know, wax poetic a little bit about fixing old speedboats. Like a Glastron 80. Whew, those things. Who would buy one of those? You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, I saw, I'm going to take this on a personal note, but I was in New York last week, and I had a drink with our friend Jake Flores, comic that moved up there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did he buy him a drink? Or did he buy you a drink? Things going well for
no,
him?
No, we knew, we both, no, I knew the bartender, and he gave us drinks for free.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Gotti don't pay for drinks.
No, not at the Cameo in Williamsburg.
Just winks.
Just winks.
Has a dimple wink for him, it's like, wink.
Yeah. But he's doing good. He's about to go out on a tour. So that's going on.
Like a tour? Like on a bus? Like a non-Greyhound bus?
I think, how do comics do it? They do like three dudes in a car or four dudes in a car. However many guys they can get in a car.
However fit in a Taurus. Like if four men fit comfortably in a Taurus, then it's four. The preferred roadmobile of the comic. That's true.
Charlie, you have an event at times called Paintball Karaoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain this to me. Yeah. So what happens? If the person's not good, you get to shoot them?
Yeah, but it's not like we're going down to the quad at UT and just shooting random people as they walk to class or something. There are signs, and they sign up, and they're aware. Most of them, it's like an 80-20 thing. Like 80% are just young people that think it'll be funny to get, you know, shot while singing, and it'll be awesome. It'll meme well. It'll have a high meme score. And then the other 20% are folks that really feel like the reason they're not, you know, selling a million records is because just the right person hadn't heard them yet.
Yeah.
And they will. Who knows who's in this crowd? Maybe Mr. RCA himself is in there.
He is.
You know, the guy who owns those dogs that love to listen to old record players. And so they sign up, and they get 90 seconds of their chosen song to sing. And then a panel of judges, which is so popular on, you know, shows like America's Got Talent or American Idol. So I thought we ought to call this American Paintball Karaoke.
Have you guys seen the commercials for this thing, The Wall? Like this new show where you have
like
a wall.
Like in Mexico?
No.
That wall?
It's a singing show. It's a singing show. And I don't understand how it works, but I saw a preview for it, and Josh Groban was there.
And there's a wall involved?
Yep, and you come on a screen like Skype to this person like, you're terrible. So now people can just go straight. Say the stuff they say to their TV.
Not like a brick wall.
No, it's a wall of TV
like a
screens.
Firing squad.
No. It's like a wall of. Have you guys? You know what I'm talking about? I'm the only person
was
that
this
saw this.
Is this a Dire Straits dream you were having?
Wait, no, you saw it. What?
It's called Rising Star.
Rising Star. See, what is the? But there's a wall there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you write on the actual wall with a pen?
I bet you could. I mean, I bet you can tweet. You can be like, hey, you're a terrible singer.
Hashtag terrible. Hashtag ear cancer.
So,
ooh, burn.
That's mean.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question about when you have one child, your first child, that's life-changing. And you're all of a sudden, like, you got to get serious. You know? Is that right? And all of a sudden, you know, everything
getting
changes.
Serious right now.
Okay, so when you have a second kid, what happens then?
You just gasp for air. Like, I mean, every syllable of that. You just gasp for air. Like, I don't, it now no longer seems funny to, like, ha ha ha, not know what day of the week it is. You're just kind of like, I'll find a paper somewhere. Oh, no one has papers anymore. My phone's dead. I don't know what day it is, and there's no way to find out. That's what having two kids is. I can't imagine more kids than this. Those people must just be operating on some other plane or level this close to snapping. They're just like a 2x4 holding up a pile of manure on the upper level. That but it's too damn heavy. It's too heavy. I'm splintering, and I'm bending. But it's great, you know, because end of the day, the kids... Just, cute.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah.
That's all they really bring to the table at this stage. Like, isn't it, but it counts. Like, it's currency with other people with kids. Like, when they know your kids are cuter than their kids, like, they just shut up.
Yeah.
They shut up right in front of you. And I've had to do it. I've been on the other side. I'm like, damn, I've got super cute kids. Oh. Yeah, you know, go ahead, get in line, cut in line, go ahead. You and your radiant children. Jesus Christ. It's like looking at a jet engine, like the whole family.
It's terrible.
Just so hot. So hot. I feel like I didn't finish earlier. Like the judges, if they, all three of them light up the guy with the paintball, at the paintball karaoke, the guy with the paintball gun unloads on the singer. And then it's like, oh, yeah, thank you very much, and they're out.
So each judge doesn't have a paintball gun?
No. We'd have culpability issues there. There'd be issues with culpability.
So there's like a trained sniper?
Oh, yeah. Matt's friend's cousin, Cheeto, is the sniper. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know he comes from a quality background check, you know, kind of scenario, sitch.
Yeah.
You know, having two kids, Johnny, is a lot like paintball karaoke. Yeah, I signed up for this. I did. I put my name right on the list to be partaking in this child raising. And today, I'm going to put on my protective chest vest, which we make them wear, and eye protection. And be losing your peepers over 500 in a bar contest. And so, you know, you put on the protective vest, you stand out in front of the judging eyes, and you give it your best, but you know you're going to get pelted at some point in the day. Maybe not today, but it'll happen the following morning, like early.
Well, at least they're cute.
Oh, cute as the day is long, Johnny.
Okay, so I'm on your show frequently, and I feel sometimes like as a guest, if you ever watch the Larry Sanders Show, they used to call George Siegel, like day of someone drops out, they call George Siegel.
Oh yeah,
Yeah. Not in a bad way. I feel like I'm like the call when you're in an emergency, you need a guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I've let you down the last couple of times, but I'm taking I'm taking something from your show, and I'm going to ask you.
In my notebook?
Five questions.
Oh. All right, five questions.
Yeah. Actually, last time I was on your show, you were looking for a notebook because you lost your five questions and you had to make them up on the spot. But I came up with these, Charlie, today.
I ended up using the five questions that I'd written for you on somebody else. I hope that doesn't affect you in any way. I don't know why it would. But I'd left that notepad at my office at work, and then when I found it, I was like, some bitch! There's a notepad.
But they didn't answer.
But I didn't want to waste the five questions that I had written there. I was like, these will dazzle and amaze somebody else.
So they were pretty general?
Yeah, but they were mostly about what's it like being part Cuban. And this person wasn't part Cuban. They were like, come on, man, you're offending my heritage now. Now my heritage is offended.
They were
upset.
That was
the name of the episode, yeah.
Okay, well, here are your five questions. I've been gearing up for the last season of True Blood, which is a show about vampires and other mystical creatures. And my question to you, Charlie, is if you were on the show True Blood, would you be a vampire, a werewolf, a shapeshifter, or a fairy?
Question. Shapeshifter. I'm familiar with the overall ability. It's pretty self-explanatory with the name and all that.
Yeah.
But it's like anything with a pulse, you can become?
I don't know, because there's one guy on there, and he just always becomes a dog. So it's like a shit-ass werewolf. Like a worthless werewolf. Tits on a boar werewolf.
Yeah, because dogs are great companions, but if you're going to be fighting vampires and werewolves, I'm not sure.
I don't think
a Pyrenees is going to cover it. You know, I'm going to go kind of a Nilo. I don't even know what a fairy does, but yeah, I'm going to be a fairy.
That seems pretty good. Do you guys watch the show?
Are there dude fairies?
Oh, yeah.
Like there's magical ones.
There's cross guys that are dude fairy vampires.
Is that a flavor?
I swear to God. We just saw this last night.
At the yogurt place? Yeah, I'll have the pink fairy vampire.
Okay, question number two. As an entertainer, Charlie, have you ever been involved with the mob?
One time, I was doing a show out at the lake. It was set on the beach. It was a big radio promotion. And the show I was on was popular with the local chapter of this biker gang. They're like a real biker gang. And it was always terrifying and flattering. Like, whenever they came out to stuff, no rules applied to them at all. But they were you know, pushing people out of the way, but they were coming to see you. So it's like, oh, all right. Wow, it's kind of flattering. That guy's hurt there. Like, that guy he's not going to ever walk the same. And then, you know, you talk to them, and there was some guy that showed up later and was all drunk and causing a ruckus. And, like, they took care of the problem.
That's kind of mob-like.
Yeah, I don't know, if I'm culpable, but I feel like I kind of gave the order.
Yeah.
And it happened. So now unfortunately, this may come back to haunt me when I'm getting a loan or something. But yeah, I think I have been involved with organized crime.
That's kick ass. Okay, so it's 1975. Linda Ronstadt or Stevie Nicks? Look at that. This is taking some. Do you need to look at your phone or something? I mean, do you want to see pictures? Because they're both equally as angelic.
I know, because I'm going on fluffiest hair. Like, however, back then, I would have been, like, getting lost in, like, a majestic spider web that reeked of Aquanet, and they're, like, little vials of cocaine, like, scattered throughout, like little nucleuses in a storm cloud of atoms. And I feel like Stevie Nicks had to have fluffier hair, because I'm having a hard time picturing. Because she only had one style at Stevie Nicks. Linda Ronstadt, I feel like she mixed it up now and then, you know?
I can't stop thinking about when you said fluffy hair, I immediately started thinking 70s Bush.
Yeah. Now, were you already thinking that before you asked the question? And then you just went back to thinking about it?
Or no, it wasn't. Okay. Until you said fluffy hair.
All right.
So which one? Stevie Nicks?
I think so. Yeah. I'm gonna say Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks just get like being killed with cotton candy. That hair, like you could have a Cloud City up there. Get your Star Wars gear, like your Lando Cloud City, and just set it on her head, and it'd be like an authentic cloud setting. You know, whole scene, things flying in and out. Vader's landing, but they don't know it. Lando sold him out.
I just saw Lando. I swear to God,
we played Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, we played Comic Palooza, and I went into the convention part, and where the guys were signing autographs, there he was. It cost like $40 to get your. I mean, look,
to
I understand.
Meet Billy Dee Williams.
Well, I think to get your picture taken with, just to meet him. Does anyone go to comic conventions here?
Oh, it's a comic convention. I thought you just comic saw Palooza. Him somewhere.
No, I didn't just see him.
Like
he sets up
you?
Tables at the park.
He invoiced you at the airport? That's $40, buddy.
He influenced me. Okay, I've got a question from what was the wedding show on the Newlywed Game? Okay. What's the strangest place you've ever made whoopee? Don't say in the butt.
Well, what? Like, what are some parameters for strange? Like, who's strange? You know? Like, whose definition of strange? My definition of strange? Or am I supposed to guess what all these fine people's definition
of strange is? I wish there was a way to just light them immediately so you could take a gander and just get their strangeometer and see what level we're working at.
I'm going to go with this. These two right over here.
She watches.
A lot of hot pink and tie-dye going on. All right. What was the question again?
Was it at a fish concert?
Yeah. Oh, strangest place
you've ever made whoopee.
The storage closet at Graham Central Station. That mega bar up north, it's like 9 clubs in one.
Okay. That's really good. Okay,
wife and I were going through a little thing, you know?
That's how you keep it fresh.
Yeah, that is how we got caught, too, by a bartender.
Oh.
And she wasn't even that upset. She was just like, God, come on. Like, we thought she was going to say, again, because apparently that was a popular place for drunken hornies to go in.
Yeah. Okay, so last but not least, you have 2 children, very close in age.
Yeah.
What's your baby-making jam? Like, what do you listen to when it's when it happened? When the when the stork came.
What's my baby making jam?
Yeah, what do you have? What's on the stereo?
You know, I'm trying to remember. If I go to my digital list of songs on like iTunes, I mean, I can tell you right now, it would be Al Green.
Okay.
Because for one, he's top of the damn list, and that's alphabetically, but then, like,
what about
pick a better list, like a scroll, and he's top of the scroll just when it comes to talent and making you want to get it on.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, like, all 10 tracks are get it on. Like, put in some Marvin Gaye, you're going to want to hump, but then something all political happens. You're like, oh, what? Oh, no, I care. I'm caring about injustices. Oh, God. Woo! But Al Green, it's like, I don't want you to quit ever. Just go, go,
yeah.
Go.
He knows.
So I'm going to say probably Al Green. We figured out our first kid, Vivian. We were in New Orleans for New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
So I don't know. Sometimes I travel like a pro, and I got the little radio that you put the iPod in.
Yeah.
That was New Orleans. I don't even mean.
You could have just had the sounds of the streets coming in through the windows.
It's like you wake up with a phone pressed to your face. You don't even know it. You have numbers on the side of your head. Because you had like 9 yards of 180 octane, like up till 4 in the morning. And you stepped in a chug hole and your foot smells like just the inside outs of a bum.
Just, that's gross.
It's just like, ugh. Can't even, there's no soap in a hotel that will get that off of your foot. That tiny bar, just like, it's like an Alka-Seltzer when it touches that toxic foot. Just
Charlie Hodge, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring up our next guest. Charlie, you can scoot down one. I love you. You're a good man. My next guest is just back from tour. You probably have seen his Laugh Until Life Makes Sense stickers around town on cars and on things. I do see them on things. I see them on guitar cases a lot, too. And also, he has a new album out, a new EP, acoustic EP, called Ethos, My Friend, Graham Wilkinson.
This world can crush all your dreams, dwell your fear.
Got your jams, Keto? This is a professional show. What would be awesome is I need to get a sweat and lotion situation where they play the person's song when they come up. I thought about that just today. It was a little too late to get the band to do it. But I'll find a band that will do it.
High hopes. You got to have high hopes.
High hopes. So you, There was a lot of... We were in New York last weekend. I was there with Skyrocket. You were there playing as well. Mm-hmm. We were on opposite sides of the New York. Did not connect. But so many people were there.
There were a lot of people up there, yeah.
There was a lot of people from here playing up there.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get to see any of them either.
No.
I mean, we just...
How long was your tour?
It was a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah. We did Vermont, did D.C., and a bunch of dates in New York.
Were you playing solo?
Yeah, I was just by myself. It was good.
How did you do it? Because you were flying home. Did you fly up there and like rent a van or something or
no,
train it?
We had somebody loan us their car to drive down to D.C., us, me, the guy I hired to play drums with me. And then I took a train to Vermont to play some shows up there.
With a guy playing drums?
No, it was just me on that one that run, yeah.
Well, so it went well?
Yeah, I mean, it could have gone better. It could have gone way worse. That's how like everything is, right? I mean,
where were you playing in Brooklyn on Saturday?
Skinny Dennis. Apparently up in New York, Texas is real cool, but people from Texas aren't that cool. I just think it's just the idea of Texas that's real cool. I don't know. I don't know. It was really neat. I mean, okay, I walked in to Skinny Dennis to set up at 4 something. My show started at 5. It was from 5 to 7 or something, but walked in. I'd stayed up till 6:30 or 7 in the morning the night before, and they were playing, I don't even know the name of the song, but we all know it. I want to go home
to the Armadillo.
Yeah, so that I walked in, and Jerry all Jeff. These drunk people are singing that. Oh, no. Gary P. Nunn.
Yeah,
oh,
Gary P. Nunn. London Homesick Blues by Gary P. Nunn.
London Homesick
Blues. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. So, and I'd already had somebody request that, and I walked in. I'm like, oh, they're playing it on the jukebox. And then I realized that I hadn't eaten anything all day, and I hadn't even had a glass of water. But I walked into the bar, and I was like, well, I better start drinking again.
Yeah.
And, but willpower, something that I'm not very familiar with, made me not get a beer and go get a taco down the street. And I went and got a taco, and then I came back, and London Homesick Blues was on again. So they love Texas down up there. Not Texans, just the idea of it, I think.
Right. I think of you as a guy like that, like a real, like, guy
Armadillo?
Who's... No. Oh, shit. Like a great singer-songwriter, like a person who represents something.
We had fun, man. The happy hour was great. You know, you get to eat peanuts and throw the shells on the floor. And I didn't do that. I had a little pile neatly on the bar. Someone's like...
Lining them up with your credit
like,
card.
What the fuck are you doing? And I was like, man, you know, I could have just picked them up and put them in the trash from there.
Yeah.
Now we're giving somebody else something else to do. I don't know.
It's also Texas. Like, we were playing... Skyrocket was playing at a place where the only place where we play in front of a giant Texas flag is it right in the middle of Manhattan. Yeah. Totally fucking weird. Then Corey and I went to this music festival, like, downtown, and it was, like, Austin music with, like, the Roosevelts playing and shit. It was really weird.
West 23rd Street, yo.
Yeah. Yeah, Madison Square Park, the barbecue festival. So let me ask you this. You have twins. How old are they now?
They're about to turn 4 years old.
Wow.
Twin daughters and a stepdaughter who's 17.
17.
So, yeah.
Do you ever think that, yeah, that's a lot of ladies in your house, man. And I'm not a sexist in any way, but I can tell when a guy is gender outnumbered.
Yeah, and four to one is pretty easy math. I mean, I think you can figure that out. I'm outnumbered by four.
Do you have painted toenails and stuff?
I do usually have at least one nail painted. And I walked into the post office the other day with a rainbow ribbon tied in one of my dreads. And I noticed this old lady staring at me, and she was just smiling. And she was just like, well, what's this all about? And I was like, my hair? I don't know. I mean, I get stranger questions about that. And she goes, no, the rainbow ribbon. And I looked, and it was this flowing, long rainbow ribbon. It was like hippie stuff. You know, I hate hippies, so I was just...
You don't hate hippies. Come on.
I know. I'm just joking.
So tell me about your EP, Ethos. It's a solo acoustic EP.
I think it's more than an EP. I mean, I know that the terminology is
extended play,
yeah. Long play. This is a full record. There's 9 songs. What?
Why is it called an EP then?
Well, you know, people mess stuff up all over the place. You know, you can go anywhere and somebody's messing up something. So, and I'm to blame for that a lot of the time too. I'm not known in my circle of friends as the guy who remembers everything. You know, they don't look at me and they're like, Graham never misses a beat, you know. It's
I don't think of you as a beat misser.
Well, forgetful. Kind of like
Charlie, were you going to say something?
Yeah, he was.
Well, I was just shocked to find out that you're not very responsible.
No, I said I don't remember everything. I am pretty dang responsible.
But if someone told you to do something and you don't do it, and you're like, I don't remember you saying that, they're going to be like, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah. Or it's like, where were you last week? It might take me a few minutes to figure that out, and I might need to look at my phone. Or I'd find a paper or a calendar. Remember, those things are hard.
Yeah. You know? If you don't have your phone on you, good luck finding the date.
Anything. I find myself looking up how to get places in Austin that I know how to go, but I want to look on the map on the phone to see the traffic, because I'm Captain Backroads, you know what I'm saying?
Are you? Yeah, you do that?
Oh, God, I love the Backroads, man. Which is residential streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drive the speed limit, too.
For those of you that don't know the lingo.
Just to be clear on this.
It's neighborhood streets. So you're back roads driver. So you were. It's solo acoustic. It's an album.
It is. It's not funny. It's not. It's serious. It's all pretty serious stuff. Which is kind of. I don't know. I mean, I like.
What happened to Laugh Until Life Makes Sense?
Well, you know what? There's this old boy, this mechanic up in Wichita Falls who saw my sticker that says Laugh Until Life Makes Sense. Someone just got that tattooed on their body the other day.
I saw that on Facebook.
This girl, Savannah, was just like, look what I did. And she got a lyric of mine tattooed on her back. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
I was okay with that.
Do you feel responsible for that part of her body?
100%. Her shoulder blade. It's my fault. But I came up with that line the day of the first show I ever played at the Saxon Pub back in 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. And kind of scribbled out a song, but... What happened to Laugh Until Life Makes Sense? This old boy up in Wichita Falls, he saw the sticker on Patrick's truck, and he goes, better get to laughing. And wow. I was like, well, that's the whole point of it, actually. I think that's kind of implied. You know, life never will make sense, so laughter is better than worry and fear. And so, but this ethos is more about my father-in-law. Over Christmas, this past Christmas, he's a jazz guitarist in New Orleans, Hank Mackey. He's a genius, and he has a bunch of old guitars, a bunch of old 50s, 40s, Gibsons, just beautiful jazz guitars. And there's this Harmony Patrician guitar that was an archtop, and I picked it up and I started playing it, and he walked in. I was like, oh, sorry, you know, put it back down. He goes, you like that guitar? And I was like, it's beautiful. And he goes, no, it's not. And I was like, yeah, it is. It's actually pretty amazing. I really like it. And he said, Merry Christmas, you can have it. It was a 1953 Patrician Harmony. So the first song I started playing on it, trying to mess around with it, I just had all these songs, and they sounded real... I just liked the way they sounded on this guitar, and I didn't want to go back into the studio and try to do a record where you're dependent on other people.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, this could just be me and my guitar singing songs like I started out doing. So that's what we did.
In your house? Or did you go to a studio?
My buddy Patrick Hertzfeld's studio.
Okay.
Right out there. Out that way.
Out that way?
Yep.
I was out at a nice studio today.
Yeah? Yep. Which one? You wanna plug it?
I don't know what it's called.
Good. Is that nice, huh?
No, it was really nice. No, it's kind of underground. They have nice mics and everything. A guy named Steve was engineering. And then the guy that owned it wrote me on Facebook and said, hey, nice to meet you.
Were the microphones used on Pet Sounds?
No, but I sang through a Neumann U47 today, which is pretty good.
Pretty old school shit right there.
Graham, have you thought about altering that bumper sticker to say, get awesome free guitars until life makes sense?
No, man, not that way just quite yet. Oh.
It's got a ring to it.
You can actually do anything until life makes sense. I actually started a clothing line.
Are you still? Is it still going?
It's a preemptive move, you know. Like, you know, some of my buddies, like Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake, you know, they after they became multimillionaires and huge pop stars, they decided to start a clothing line, and just like, you know, we saw how great it turned out for the preemptive wars that we've been doing. I wanted to start a...
Shit just got political.
Yeah,
people.
Right.
God damn.
Just a frame of reference there for a second. I started a clothing line. You know, you can do anything until life makes sense. You can run, which I hate running, so I don't do that. Mm. But yeah, I'm with you on that chart. You can tell, man, we both look like we don't run that much.
I run fast when motivated by fire.
It's usually the cops that motivate me to run fast. But yeah, you can run, you can fish, you can pray, sing.
Yeah.
You can do anything until life makes sense. It's doing good. It's doing good for me. I'm South Austin.
Do you fish?
No, I mean, I have plenty of times. The first time I went fishing, my dad spent about 20 minutes teaching me how to like bring it back and push the button and then go and cast it. And he spent so much time teaching it to me, and he was so serious. My dad's a Methodist minister, so I was really in the moment. And right, he's like, push the button, bring it back, let go. So I just let go of the whole thing, man. The whole thing just flew right in the water. He was so pissed off. That was the only real rod we had that day. He wasn't that mad, but he was pretty dang mad. I think he's pretty pissed off.
So not fishing. What else? What other things can you do to life?
Sing.
A good one. I've done that.
Dance until life makes sense. The ones we're trying to shy away from are like, you know, drink until life makes sense.
Do you go
vapor
until you
until
forget
life
your childhood?
Makes sense. You know, all kinds of other inappropriate ones, you know. Y'all's minds are already going there right now.
I've been thinking the whole time. That's what I was going to say. Do you have a masturbate till life makes sense one?
Well, that was just, there's a lot of ramifications on that one, you know.
Lots of life making sense, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Does. And life making sense.
Do your daughters team up against you? My friends have triplets. This is what I'm leading into. My friend Andy Mullinax that I grew up with, his wife Deborah have triplets, and they invented their own language, and they. Andy and Deborah said they say things to each other, and they point at them and laugh. And they don't know what they're saying.
It's true, though. It's true. With twins,
it's not very nice.
You know, kids are cute, like you were saying, Charlie.
So
you know,
cute.
They're so cute. They don't bring a whole lot else to the table. You know, other parents or people without kids, they just sit in judgment all day long. I'm never gonna do that with my kid. Or it's like, wow, how could they let that person do that right now? And it's like, you know what, man? Why don't you just mind your own business? You know, it's like that old school line. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. People need to re-embrace that, or embrace it for the first time, because some people just have nothing but negative stuff to say about other people, and it's lame. It's tiring. You know, I mean, be creative. Do something for yourself. You know, be an adult.
Yeah. You know, my Aunt Diana told me one time. She said, John Charles, if you don't have anything nice to say, wait till we get home and tell me then. I
swear. He couldn't even finish that line. He's like, get.
She's literally one of the funniest people I know. She's always got
someone talking at a funeral. He's like, hey.
Hey, this is my show.
He was crying. No, I'm just saying. It's like, you were laughing, but the crying always happens at funerals when people get up. My sister... I'm not trying to bring it down, but my At my brother's funeral, my sister tried to get up and talk, and it was horrible. We couldn't understand a word she was saying, and it was so sad, and it was horribly sad.
So now,
not bad, but
right. But time goes by, and do you make fun of her now sometimes?
Oh, I do, man. Yeah. I do, and that's why I'm bringing it up on this podcast. My little sister Sarah Lou, who's the one child of my parents who did no wrong and has done no wrong, and she's the most beautiful person. I always say she kind of sounded like, you know, Miss Piggy. And I'm like, ah. I didn't make much sense either that day, but that's okay.
No.
But yes, no, the twins.
Yeah.
Yes. They all, these people.
Yeah.
My daughters and wives.
Right, right.
They team up against me. I've been saying this a lot. These people, man. Everybody thinks you're about to say something bad about a certain, you know, race or ethnicity,
yeah.
But it's like pedestrians, these people, man, you know, they just... Anyway, the daughters do, they do team up against me, and they trick me, and they, I just try to keep the peace. It's a constant state of trying to keep everybody happy, and that's a difficult role to be in, you know?
Yeah.
It is. It's hard.
Hey, I want to congratulate you for being a Black Fret 2014 nominee. Black Fret is a patronage music site.
Yeah,
where they're patrons of music, local music.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. That's cool, man. I got nominated to get a bunch of money for just singing songs and telling stories. That's
how long does the period last of proving yourself for the money?
This round, the voting ends at the end of this, I guess in October of this year. And the only people that get to vote are members of Black Fret. You can
right.
still join it.
You can join it. Blackfret.org, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty phenomenal little group of...
I had them on my show, actually. They were guests, and they explained
Colin
the whole thing.
Colin and Matt were?
Yep, Colin and Matt. They were on the show.
They're great.
Yeah, I think it was in March. I don't know the episode. I should have written it down.
It's okay. I mean, I'm not holding it against you at all.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you'll know in October?
Yeah, I'll find out if there's, I guess, 20 nominees and 10 of them get the grants. And they say we could use it, the money on anything we want.
It's a good thing you're not Oasis.
I don't know what that means.
Whoa, 90s reference. I got to bring my shit up. It's a good thing you're not Avicii.
I know the band Oasis. What did Oasis do?
Yeah, what
with
they
their
do? Money?
Okay,
they blow their money
check
on?
This out. You want to hear a great story about Oasis? They got their money. Their tour manager went and got the cash for their tour support, and they got it in cash from the label so that they could pay as everything goes along, from tolls to hotels to everything. And the next morning before they left for tour, the tour manager had to go back and ask for another advance because they spent it that night.
So it was all like stickers and T-shirts from the city they were in. They
yes,
were
it was
supporting
all
local.
Yes, they hadn't left home.
Farmers markets. They woke up real early and they got us fresh lettuce and radishes and.
Oasis is known for their fresh lettuce and radish.
We made one chap eat $1,000 for funds. Eat it, and you can keep it.
Wash it down with a radish.
All right, that'll clear you out. Ruffage, man. Get paid. I got to get paid.
They got
another radish.
They got to have that.
You got to.
That's a fascinating band, that band. And listen, a lot of people don't like them.
Hey, I do. Let me just tell you,
you
this.
Good.
I've been actually covering Don't Look Back in Anger, but I did this
That's
kind
awesome.
Of like country jazzy version. I just kind of slur the words together and stuff like that, and people don't even know what I'm singing. They don't think, is he really singing an Oasis song? Most people don't even know who they are nowadays, so it's good. But I really like them too.
I do too.
You're not alone in this
good
infatuation, Johnny.
You know who else likes him? Alejandro Escovedo, big fan.
Yeah, well, he's pretty awesome. I mean, if he likes anything, that's pretty off the charts, because man, that guy's intimidating, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he really is, man. He can be Alejandro Escovedo. He's actually he's the only reason that I actually think that I play at the Cactus Cafe regularly before they fired Griff. Luckily, Cactus had me back just recently, but Continental Club, Mucky Duck in Houston, a bunch of places. Al,
yeah,
he's awesome.
He's very nice. And when he likes your band, he goes and does a bunch of stuff and has you do stuff, which is really nice. Yeah.
Special.
So, Graham, I'm going to say you guys scoot down one, and I'm going to bring up our next guest. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. JG. Love you, buddy.
I love you. My next guest.
Charlie, we're going to have to scoot down a few more chairs, I think.
Yeah, all the way down. Because
this is a band. This is,
this is a whole band.
Luckily, all the mics work.
These guys.
Those first two seats are warmed up. Going out
tonight, no, one of my favorite bands. Right. They have a new single, Hunger. Baby, it's out now. They did a video for What Is Love by Hart Hathaway. They did a cover of that. It was amazing. Aaron, Todd, and Corey. Sphinx.
It's a small band. It's not. It's a whole band, but there's only three of us.
Right. Have you, do you guys, do you, any of you guys know each other? I was going to introduce you outside, but I wanted this to be weird.
No, we don't.
I met Aaron.
Are you
outside.
Talking to okay. them or us?
Yeah. All of you. Yeah,
who knows?
I'm addressing.
In a band.
I don't know them.
They know each other,
no,
right?
No.
We've been hanging
do you
out
guys
for
know
years.
Charlie and Graham? I bet you know them a lot better now.
Charlie and I just started a band.
Okay.
Okay.
Charlie and I went to high school, I think, together.
Yeah, we did.
No.
Maroons.
Maroons, yes.
Maroons.
Oh, Austin High,
Maroon
guys?
Maroon and red, right?
Todd
Austin
Todd
High.
Todd was homeschooled. He's lying.
Oh. I went 1 year. You went to Austin High, Charlie?
Yeah. Nobody was homeschooled back then. You were like a problem.
They had a smoking section. Were you there when Bob ran the smoking section?
Yeah, I knew a girl. I had a class with a girl that had two children via the smoking section. And one of them was conceived in the back of my friend's 74 Cougar because it didn't have door locks and they knew it. He'd get in there and it'd be smogged out. There'd be like sex in the air.
That was my mom.
What?
Shit.
No joke.
Do you guys know, real quick, before we get into this with Sphinx, when I was at Austin High, the dudes that I hung with were, well, I didn't hang with Will Taylor, but he was part of this group. It was like Elias Hasslinger, the saxophone player, jazz, yeah. Ian Moore, the guitar player guy, Mike Viegas, who's a drummer that now owns the Gypsy Lounge, and Will Taylor. Yeah, it was a bunch of dudes that ended up being lifers. Yeah, we all were together.
I had Ian Moore's history book.
You did?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
His name was written in it, like where you had to like rent it with your name, kind of. Oh, yeah. This belonged to him, yeah. At one point, it had been his.
There you go. Sphinx, welcome to this stage, you guys. What's going on? Aaron first.
Well, we're kind of at like a chill spot in the band right now. We toured like super heavily in the spring. Did like two really long tours up the
you
West
did.
Coast and then like the Midwest. And then we did South by Southwest. And like, I think we counted in March and it was 21 shows. Todd counted. It was 21?
Like 21, yeah.
Yeah, we did like 21 shows in a month. And
counted, you know.
So yeah, so then we kind of came back and have just been... I got married in May.
You did. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we all moved back into Austin. We were living in Kyle for
right.
A while.
I remember the times of the compound when we first met, and I enjoyed those times. But I'm glad to see you guys growing and moving on.
It was great. I mean, I think we all missed the compound
live,
a little bit.
Yeah, we only live two blocks away, so it's not that
we're not
far
growing still. Up. We all moved in the same neighborhood, but like
that's good.
We stopped living in like one, on one like plot of land all together because. I don't know, at a certain point, people start thinking you're weird.
And at a certain point, a lot of weird stuff starts happening, and you don't know why. It's just...
Wait, you guys are married. Todd,
well,
you're married.
Yeah, well, actually, Aaron just completed the circle. We're all three married.
All three?
Lord of the Rings is what they call us.
So all of you guys are married? Everyone on stage is married?
Except for you, Johnny.
Except
for you.
That's right. That's right. I don't know how to come back from that. Exactly.
Exactly.
And I'm just looking at you because my girlfriend's sitting out there and I don't really know what to say. So Charlie, look at me.
Ask her.
Dude, I love you.
Ask her. Right now.
At the live podcast. Finally, I'll start getting some great ratings. You guys have a show coming up on June 21st. That's it's tomorrow, because this is coming out on Friday. So tomorrow, I have to do this kind of math in my head all the time, weak math. Is everyone doing okay? I noticed a table of people left. So that's immediately, that's all I can think about.
Is it because we're all married and we're not interesting? Is that the thing?
No, I'm just saying everyone's doing okay. Okay. So you're all married and you've been out on the road. Does it add a stress, like not being home, and then you come back and you're like, oh man, it's so cool crossing the Mississippi 3 times. And your wife's like, yeah, well, the toilet broke. That used to happen to me when I was married. I'm glad you're having a good time at the movies with your friends in Iowa. Because the toilet broke.
That's pretty much it.
You got to rent. You the toilet breaks, hit up the leasing office. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Tell your wife you'll take care of it. You call the leasing office. No. You get him to take care of it. You call your wife.
Do you guys live in houses?
No.
Where do you rehearse now? Because you had a studio and stuff out there, right?
It's still out there.
Oh, still out there?
We just commute.
Okay.
It's moving, though.
Possibly. Uh-oh.
Possibly.
Could be.
I see this. Creative differences. Creative differences. Well, where would you move it? Into town?
Like this street, South Manchac area.
There's a rehearsal place down. I actually rehearse at Space. You guys ever go there?
Where's that?
Yeah. Sounds Space awesome. Rehearsal and recording. It's on Manchac. It's just further south, a couple miles.
Is that north of Stastny? Like on the creek there?
South of Stastny, north of Slaughter.
North of Slaughter. Okay.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
Space Rehearsal and Recording, sponsor of my show.
Space.
You can hit him up for.
I want to go to space.
And get a free hour. Just tell him you heard about it on How Did I Get Here. I'm serious.
Johnny told me how to get
here. Yeah, hit him up.
Really? It's true. They give you a free hour. Just tell me you heard about it on the show. Not like while you were on the show. Say you were listening to the show. So what can we expect at the show Saturday, June 21st?
New pants.
At Stubbs.
Yeah, we got some new pants.
New pants? Not just the flower pants? Or
no,
new flower pants?
Custom made pants this time. And new boots. Just saying.
I don't know how many people in this room are familiar with Sphinx, but that's a big deal. I mean,
that is a big deal. You guys have been rocking the flower pants since I've known you.
Yeah, we actually, like, I don't know if we've done many Austin shows in the white pants, but like the flower pants just ate it on tour.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually what happens to our pants is like, we like stay in them after the show and like go out partying or something like that, and then there's like, I don't know, like
blood
weird black stuff
them.
Or blood or wake holes all over them in the morning.
Colors,
Charlie
like
has
colors,
a question.
Who makes your pants?
We have this one.
Do you have a pant maker?
That's,
oh,
yeah.
Like, do you really have a dude? I got
yeah,
some
got
pants
dude.
That need making.
You need some pants made?
Yeah,
pants?
If you guys have Corey's a
making,
guy.
This is the pants.
Corey's making these rounds.
Yeah. And we do,
oh, that's
we,
right.
We do jackets,
anybody,
too.
Any pants they want.
Yeah.
You make the
Corey
pants? You're China?
We call them China.
Oh.
They painted all the flowers
nice.
On the last batch. No.
It's very,
So, new pants at the show on the 21st. The
you want
song.
Some pants? Is that what you're saying? Do you want
I want
some
pants.
Fucking.
No, like your, I mean, I'd like to have some pants made. I've got ideas.
You can have my pants.
I don't
Charlie.
Want
Damn
those
it,
pants.
Charlie.
Those wouldn't fit me. I've got this ass that just. It expands out, and it just gets skin at the top if you push on the bottom. And so it's just, you don't want that.
That's a good thing.
It's
that's
all about
that's
dimensions.
A good thing,
I mean, you can make that look however you want. I mean, it'll look great.
It depends
yeah.
on,
the,
pants,
on the type of pants you're wearing.
Talk to Corey after the show.
All right, after the show.
Corey, check this out. I was in New York, as I had said earlier. And I was walking with my friend Darren, and I walked by a Levi's store, and he was on the phone with his wife, so I was like, hey, check it out, I'm going to go into this Levi's store, and he was like, all right. So I go in the Levi's store, it's like Levi's I'd never seen in my life, and I love Levi's jeans, and I'd never seen these kind of jeans, and so the guy's standing there, and I'm like, hey, what's going on with the jeans? He's like, oh, this is the Levi's handmade shop.
What?
Yeah, exactly, look
at
your faces.
Do they make them in the store, or?
They will.
Okay.
Make them in the store for you.
Oh, while you stand
and
there
you pick
and watch
out
them?
The, you pick out the denim. The guy measures you
we
exactly.
Got the glitter.
I know. I didn't
choose,
do it.
Do you get to choose if they're like skinny or
yep, any
loose
kind,
fit,
sure, loose,
cut?
Any cut, any style
you
of denim, like
skinny
shiny
on top,
denim,
and bottom, but loose in the middle,
whatever you want.
Dude's talking pants. I love it.
Man, I've been trying these skinny pants on. I got them when I was in L.A., and they just kind of make me look chubby. They have the opposite effect on me, so I need to go
well,
back.
Well, you're like a man. Like, skinny jeans are for little,
skinny
little
people.
Like,
yeah,
women
we're
dudes.
Just,
I,
we were all
get,
we were
I didn't
all
get the fucking memo.
Ones.
I didn't get it, you know?
Skinny jeans
dad,
is a weight
dad
loss
is
program.
Fat. Don't wear skinny jeans.
No.
Do you guys agree? Like, I mean, like an old, like my grandpa...
But are
may
you talking about these
peace.
Three guys? Or like,
they look great.
Like, you're like,
I think they're
the
perfect
other?
For skinny jeans. Look at them. They're beautiful.
They are sexy.
We'll do a catwalk later.
The first night I saw Sphinx, in case those of you that don't know, I have some friends from New York called Black Taxi, and they had said, oh, we start at 10, but they didn't start at 10. They started at 11, and I had Rush's dinner with this weird sort of group of... retired groupies. It was really sad. And
are those good benefits?
No, it was awful. No, I was just kind of there like, oh, hey, we'll bring Johnny along. Isn't that funny? And then like one of them actually started crying at the dinner because of the sadness involved. It was just all sad. I was like, oh, my God. So I had to get out
How
of
did
there.
You get
so
in
I,
here?
That's exactly right. I should have recorded that dinner. I really should have. But I got to the thing... And I saw my friend Ezra, and I was like, hey, man, you guys start. He's like, oh, no, man, we start at 11. And I was like, shit. So now I'm stuck with retired groupie section, probably outside smoking at the parish. And as I'm walking out, you guys started, and I freaked out. Do you remember, Todd, I freaked out on you, I think. And I felt like
little,
I was...
a little close.
Yeah, I got
I
very close.
I remember hearing about this.
I'd had some cocktails, and like they started playing, and I freaked out. I ran back in. I'm like, oh, this is the greatest... And I freaked on you. And so that's how I saw you guys.
I was just confused. I didn't know. Like, I started pulling you towards the green room, and you're like, oh, no, not that. You know, so I was confused at your body language. So I guess it was just you were trying to say that you enjoyed
amazing.
The show. But
yeah, amazing. And a great time. When you're out on tour, how do people take you? Like, are you playing for audiences of people that know you? Are you touring with bands that you're friends with? Are you open, like, doing show trades and shit, or what's going on? When you show up at a place like in like South Carolina, what do they say when you go on stage with the flowered pants and the white things and dancing?
It's a little bit of everything. It depends. Like, there's certain cities that we've been through enough times to where we'll have people come see us who like know our thing. Like in Cincinnati, we had these guys who I think they made jackets. Mm-hmm. They made, like, gold lamé jackets.
See what I mean? People are tattooing lyrics, dressing up like the bands. I love this.
But then, like, for example, we played this show in Idaho, Moscow, Idaho, which is where the University of Idaho is, on our tour in February. And there's this guy who just, like, hated us. And he stayed for the whole show. He like, supposedly used to own part of the bar. And we played two sets. And so, like... He was just like there watching us the whole time, and like afterwards, I think it's really funny to like talk to people who just like really don't like what we're doing, just to kind of like hear what they say. And
well,
so,
it feels good because we live in a time when you can't really offend anyone.
Yeah.
So when you do, it feels rock and roll.
I mean, yeah,
it and does. Like, it really does.
Sphinx never offends anybody. I mean, we get, you know, like we get made fun of maybe for wearing like white leather and, you know, like floral pants and stuff like that, but that's not really offending people. But this guy just
apparently,
like, did not like us at all. And he was like, tell me what's more important, the show or the music? Because, you know, when I close my eyes and I ignore all the lights and all that shit on stage, I mean, like, are you guys really paying that much attention to the songs themselves? And like, at this point we were like all around them and we were just like, I mean, I don't know. And so, like, we were, like, trying to, like, throw him a bone. And I was just like, well, you know. And because I thought this would really piss him off. Or just, like, I wanted him to keep going down the road he was already on. And I was just like, well, you know, it's so hard to set yourself apart now that, like, you know, like, every band, like, pretty much makes the same kind of music. You just got to have, like, just, you know, something, like an outfit or lights. Or, it doesn't even matter what it is. It's just, like, something totally... You know, that makes people see your band and just, like, be like, oh, that's the band with the lights, which is, like, that guy did not like that at all. And I knew he wouldn't like that. And then so just, like, he kept leading down the path of just being,
you know, like, yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. You guys aren't paying any attention to your songs at
like,
all.
We're, no,
like,
we
it's
are.
Just,
yeah.
It's just a show. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not about the songs anymore.
Yeah.
It's just about, it hasn't been about the songs for years.
It's about the sexual appeal.
It is. And there's a lot going
skin.
On. Yeah.
And hair.
Yeah.
Blood.
And sweat.
Lotion.
Yeah. Sweat and Lotion. That's
lotion
a band that backs up Charlie Hodge. I
best
got to play in that band.
In the land.
Yeah, I got to be the guitar player in that band. It was a great time. Let me ask you this. You're going to go out on the road a little bit until June 28th after Saturday, the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
We are starting in Arkansas, Conway, which is like 30 minutes north of.
That's where I went to
Little
college.
Rock.
Really?
Really?
I went to college.
Yeah.
Is it central Arkansas?
Is it
that
is.
College
it's
there?
Actually right north. It is dead center. But it's Dry County.
Yeah.
That's
why this
a lot
venue
of
is great. Like, it's been like the third or fourth time we've been through this venue, and it's a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only because it can be a bar at nighttime, and it has to sell like pizza during the daytime.
Crazy vibe.
It just
that
goes
town.
Crazy.
Weird.
At night.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah, it's man. Weird. That's why we did a lot of drugs. So, I mean, I don't. Know. I didn't do. I mean, I did. I don't know. I don't know. It's a Methodist.
It's a Methodist school.
And they do have schools in Arkansas, just to clarify.
Of
there
course
are
they do.
Colleges there.
Well, they call them schools.
Is what's the one in Fayetteville? Is that University of Arkansas? Or
yeah, we're playing there too on this tour.
Yeah?
Yeah, Fayetteville.
Where y'all playing?
Yeah.
Smoke and Barrel.
I'm banned from that place, man.
Really?
Well, we're about to get banned.
Swear to God.
How do you do it?
My buddy owns it and...
Buddy?
No, this lower classman, is that what you call him? Wait, upper
like
class?
A person
lower
that's not classy?
That sounds really horrible.
Yeah, that
actually.
Sounded mean. That sounded like...
It did. That was, I'm not trying to be mean. He just happened to be younger than me. A younger classman. He opened this great place up in Fayetteville, and it is a great place, and everybody works there is great. And he's still great in my book. I just happened to be kind of drunk, and I spray painted my stencil of my logo on his exit door like I did on every place that I used to play until he
you
saw
ran
it.
Out of places.
Until he saw it and he was like, that's not how we do business up here. And I was like, hey man, you want some money? I'll pay to get it repainted and all that stuff. And he's just really fucking angry at me right now. So it's a great place.
Sphinx,
great beer.
Is your logo
Sorry.
Still there?
It's still there because he didn't take the money I was trying to offer to repaint his door.
So,
fucking
what?
Hey, how much did it cost to repaint a door? Like $30?
I offered him about $100 because I thought
that's
it was
a lot.
Nice,
what kind
I mean,
of
you
paint
know,
guy?
What kind of paint are they using?
Yeah.
You know, is it acrylic? Is it an oil base? Did they have stencil? Do they have other stencils they're going to use? Is it a what's the situation? You know.
Remove
so
the hinges.
When you're there,
extra too.
Tell the guy about Graham. Tell him you were at the thing. You saw him being very remorseful.
Sorry. I was. I'm sorry.
You are.
But Smoking Barrel's great. So
yeah, we can pass that on for you.
Conway.
I think they can.
Graham's still really
tour.
Sorry about that.
You guys should be like, man, we love your place. The only thing is, who ruined your exit door with that, like, totally gratifying? Be like, I know, right? Oh, my God.
Or just be like, I noticed you guys are cool with having bands spray paint
yeah,
their logo on the exit door. Is it cool if we grab the
we
other side?
We got a memo from some guy in Austin. He said that we should spray paint our logo on the back of your fucking door, man.
Right our friend here. Graham says you guys are cool with it. Yeah.
They love it up there. Be sure to do that.
Where else are you going? I mean, all these towns that you're playing in seem like you're going to run into some trouble with
we
your
do.
Outfits.
Yeah, we do.
A lot of trouble over there. At least it ain't Mississippi. That's the worst.
What's that?
Mississippi. Yeah, Mississippi was the weirdest place we ever played. We only ever did one show in Mississippi.
Dude, yeah, we that's not a good back. Place. Look,
we were loading in, and this guy, we were just like, because whenever we tour in the summer, we have AC now, but we didn't used to, for like 2 years, we didn't have any AC. And so we just wear like swim trunks and
don't wear much.
Sandals and just whatever. And so I was wearing like swim trunks and a tank top and sandals and like, We got to the venue and like I walked in to meet the guy who owned the place and was just like, you know, asking where to put our stuff and as we were walking out, this guy walks up to me and he's like, I mean like 6'5", like backwards camo hat,
ripped jeans.
Camo Jeep out front.
Yeah, and he's just like, he comes up to me and says something. I didn't understand it because the bar was too loud. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, man. What was that? Like, I didn't catch it. And he was like, I said I used to fuck guys like you before I went to prison. And like, and then I went back out to the van. And I was just like, this guy just told me he used to fuck guys like me before I went to prison.
This was like our third show out of town
great
as well.
Show,
so.
But four?
Alabama's worse, yeah. Man. I'll just say that. Mississippi's okay.
Wow. You guys play? Are you guys playing Alabama on this trip?
We played there.
No. The yeah, Nick? Y'all played the Nick?
Yeah, we
know that's the jam.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing deals out of the bathroom.
People kept going into the bathroom while we were playing.
There's one tall guy would walk
check this
in.
Out.
This one guy went in with them every
worst,
time.
Worst yeah. Bar in the world.
Okay. I can't play the games. Awesome. But I was on a tour with one of the people that I mentioned that went to Austin High with me. And we had a crazy bass player that might or may might not be the bass player for Rocky Erickson. And it was one of the last nights of the tour. And we were looking forward to maybe, you know, having a party. And so the guy in charge of procuring party favors, so to speak, went into said bathroom at the Nick with a dude who told him he was going to kill him and pulled a knife on him while their scene was going down. And then it all ended fine. But
so y'all had a party that night.
When he got to the van... He was very adamant about leaving immediately. Like, hey, go, just drive, just go. Just back the fuck out of the Nick. I can't be here anymore. Quick before that guy comes out.
Get back onto the highway. It's yeah. Right there for you. You're under
back
the
on
highway.
The
it's perfect. Man.
Yeah. That's why everyone coming out of the bathroom is always like rustled up. It
seems. So everyone here has played at the Nick, with the exception of Hodge?
Yes.
That's a great place.
He's not answering. Oh, you got to check out the
he
Nick.
He was the guy
man.
In the bathroom.
I once traded a cigarette There's for a pill I found behind a urinal at the Continental Club. Does that count?
That's great. Well, there's pictures at the Nick of people like there's the classic sort of Ian Moore sitting on his amp cross-legged with his long hair, like his blues guitar guy photo. And then this guy Benjamin, I'm in a band with his band, the Duck Hills, with his hair down to here. And then a band that I was in, Mr. Rocket Baby, my hair is down. It's like the long hair. Guys should get them to put your picture up. And then you come back 20 years later without long hair and you're like, oh God, the picture's still up. That's and it's like, but it's on the ceiling.
It's like the check stop. Yeah,
Nick, yeah,
it's like the check stop because, you know.
And let me tell you my problem with the check stop.
Yeah, man. Everybody always, hey man, where's the picture not up in the check stop?
Is your picture?
No.
Mine isn't
know.
Either.
I don't know.
God, we love the check stop.
I loved it.
You guys don't know about check stop?
No, we go there all
okay.
The time.
All right.
I love
is your picture up?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, well.
Are y'all talking about the right place? Yeah. It doesn't sound like they have pictures there.
No, they have a lot of pictures up of band people, and I'm not in it. And every time I'm there, I'm just kind of like...
In the line above the like milk and stuff?
Yeah, above everything.
I saw your picture, Charlie. It's up there.
My picture's up there?
No. Mary, the
you
had your
like
fellow.
A Speedo on. It was... yeah.
And then like weird bands like called Checkered Past. Like, yeah. I think that's one of the bands, right?
Trout Fishing in America.
What was one of the bands on there? There was one band that we loved, and we took their picture and, like, sent it to everyone and said we have to do the same picture with, like, the girl laying down with the band. What was that? No offense to Checkered Past from up there in...
Much love to Checkered Past.
Much love. So on these tours, do you get to go... have you guys ever been down the Pig Trail in Arkansas? Great drive. Scenic drive. I'm really... This is podcast is going south. Let me tell you about the vistas on the Pig Trail. It's something else. You're not going to want to nap that day. You know what I'm talking about?
Are there
the
any
main,
highlights
the main
on
highway
your tour?
That goes,
are there any highlights
yeah,
on
any
your tour
highlights.
Outside of Arkansas?
Yeah. Tulsa?
Oh, I mean, we haven't... We never played outside of Arkansas. Is it good? Like, outside of Arkansas?
I want to hear Austin, about weird Arkansas. Places y'all bought drugs. Like, the weirder, the better. Johnny?
In Lawrence, there's a place called The Bottleneck, and you have to climb up a ladder to go backstage.
Stair, yeah.
That was weird. Like, had like three Mexican bikers. It was like
no one knows. You're talking about Kansas.
Yeah,
Lawrence,
Kansas.
Kansas. The Bottleneck.
Yeah.
Yes. Just clarifying this.
Jackpot?
I don't know what was happening, but I did, like, someone said... oh, really? Well, I know a guy. And then this biker guy came up. He's like, and are you looking for me? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, let's go up in that thing. And so we went up in the, me and three biker guys. It was a very scary time for me.
We had a run-in with a biker gang in Houston a couple years back.
Toto Motos.
The Toto Motos.
What happened?
We were playing this bar. I don't know whether I should say the name of it, but like, actually, it doesn't exist anymore. So yeah, it was called the Mink. It doesn't exist anymore. And but the ownership that had bought it had gotten, or like, was in tight with that biker gang, which apparently everybody in Houston hates because like, it's just a bunch of kids who started a biker gang, and then the Banditos.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much
I know.
This stuff
no,
you
I know exactly who
podcast.
Those people are. No, no,
yeah,
no.
Easy,
I know.
Easy.
I know who the Banditos
yeah.
are.
Get fucking murdered after this.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Because I'm actually friends with, and I'll say this out loud: Los Carnales, the chapter in what's the two cities? Midland, Odessa, Midland.
Oh, okay.
Los Carnales. Okay, so go ahead. I want it all on here. I know who the Banditos are.
Okay, well,
I'm scared of them.
Yeah,
you guys,
I'm scared
I mean,
of them
they were
too.
All here this last weekend.
But
we could have died.
They got the Toto Motos in check. You know, like they yeah. were like kept messing with people in Houston, I guess. And like I found out recently, like the Banditos like got that all in check, which is good, I think.
They're
but
stabbing people yeah. here and there.
But we were like in this bar. That we played, and it was like 2 a.m., and this sound guy, who we'd known from before the bar got bought by these different owners, he was like, yeah, these new owners are, like, tight with the Toto Motos, and, like, these guys are, you know, dicks, and they'll come in here just, like, whenever they want, they get to come in. And, like, I guess, was it one of you guys that told me?
So me and Corey were unloading off the stage. And we see these guys with the jackets that say Toto Moto and some scary shit on the back of their jackets. They come and do like a line like on the counter
yeah.
by the bar and just, you know, doing whatever else. And then Aaron.
No, somebody told me there was a biker gang in there. But I thought.
Well, after Aaron starts walking. He just walks around the corner. Me and like Corey just trying to be like chill. Like, oh my God, if we say anything, they're going to like shoot us.
The only reason I said something is because somebody told me there was a biker gang in there.
I was told they were downstairs. Yeah,
yeah, I was downstairs.
Yeah, Aaron heard
someone was like, oh, there's a biker gang. And I figured they were gone.
So Aaron walks around the corner upstairs, like pumps his fist together. He's like, we're going to get these bikers or what?
In your flowered pants and white leather.
Me and Corey were just like I just looked at Corey, he looked at me, and we just we were dead, you know.
They were dead. Still on the stage breaking down stuff. Like I went to the bathroom downstairs, and the sound guy like turned around too, and just like the blood drained from everybody.
Like
on stage.
Shaking
yeah.
quietly.
I said that.
Well, y'all are okay. Y'all all have all your fingers. What happened? Are y'all? Okay?
We took care of them.
It turns out they're
take care of them.
We'll just say that. They just aren't that legit.
But they did scare us.
The Toto Motos aren't.
They were
really
only 12 and 13.
Aren't much.
Yeah, yeah, they're little kids, man.
They're,
y'all like
children, but
drop kicking them, you know, like yeah. punting them down the down the bar. I did play in what's the place in between Midland and Lubbock and San Angelo. San Angelo
at the Steel Penny Pub
at the Hog Barn,
oh,
which
no.
is a biker bar / barn, the Hog Barn. And this is back in 2003, and I was opening up for my friends, this band called Chillum, and they were like a reggae,
really?
Hip-hop band.
Band named after a weed pipe, was it reggae
yeah.
band?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly. But I got so drunk, I kept calling it the pig pen, and it's the Hog Barn. And then I had all these like drunk 60-year-old topless biker chicks yelling at me with their toothless angry biker husbands / boyfriends, and there was a guy giving half off free tattoos in the dirt in the dance floor down there. So it just made me think of it, the Hog Barn, aka Pig Pen. I was like, oh, thanks so much for coming out to the Pig Pen. Thank y'all, I love you. I love the Pig Pen.
At that kind of gig, are you playing solo?
Yeah, it was one of those, solo gigs. One of those solo gigs. Anyway.
At least
sorry.
You guys don't have to deal with that. You
that
got each other.
That was my biker story.
We're going to play there next.
Organized crime. All three yeah. of us have yeah. dealt with it.
In the biker way.
We had those kids do some weird stuff.
Yeah. Isolate that.
13-year-olds right doing rails on the bar and... You just drop kicking
him. There was this bully that used to mess with me in homeschool. Take care of him, kid.
Take care of him, man.
They used to mess with me in homeschool.
My brothers
it was, yeah,
used to mess with me all the time in homeschool.
So wait, now that you're all married and you guys had kids, would you homeschool? That's an interesting question. What about you, everybody?
Kids,
you're not having kids.
Shit, no.
100%. I'm just, you know, the amount of crazy people that I meet on the road and everywhere out there, it's like, it's such a gamble. That's why I'm a full-time dad all day. And then, you know, people are crazy, man. And, you know, when you hand your child over to somebody else, you're like, you take care of them. Think about all the crazy things. You just go stand in a line somewhere, Subway, people trying to make decisions on bread and cheese and stuff. People are crazy, man. You know, it's like, just, God. These people, these kids in San Antonio the other day, it's the Subway. Like, welcome to the Subway. I was like, man, come on, man. Care about what you're doing right now.
Yeah,
it's like
I have
everything
a problem
I've
with
ever
that
done,
too.
I've had a little bit of dignity inside of my soul about, like, hey, I care about sandwiches. If this person's going to eat a sandwich, I want them to enjoy it.
I have that same, I have that issue.
Gosh. Hey, man, this is your job.
Yeah,
man. It's not
it
my
is your job. Yeah, yeah.
It's not my job. You do your job.
Yeah.
Did you used to work at a Subway?
I'm sorry, I'm cussing now.
No, you used to work at Thundercloud.
Oh, that's much better.
Thundercloud's a good place.
I love Thundercloud.
How do you guys stay healthy on the road? You got, I mean, do you eat, you eating burgers? Oh my God. Somebody take a picture of this so I can post it.
Dad is fat.
He's also expecting another set of twins in the fall. Do you eat healthy on the road? It's hard to, like, what do you find? I've seen Corey struggle with it, and he, in fact, prefers one truck stop Hruska's over Weichel's in LaGrange because of the snack. The snacks at Hruska's are a little healthier. A lot healthier.
We're into iron skillets. I don't know if you know what those are.
No. What's that? No. Oh,
like,
you bring them on the road?
Stop. We don't actually eat there, but it's disgusting.
Oh.
We would never eat there.
Like, what do you eat?
We
like
eat kale and bananas.
Really?
Out of a skillet?
We do.
Banana and kale skillet.
No, they made it up. They made up the skillet thing.
No, it's really
no skillet.
Iron skillet.
We do try to shop. We like...
We go to the grocery store and eat a lot of vegetables and shit.
We got,
that's
like,
amazing.
Apples, bananas,
and
oranges.
We went through the dollar burger phase, and that was... It ruined us pretty quick, so...
Did you say olive burger?
What did I say?
Dollar.
Oh, Dollar
like
Burger.
Water Burger and Olive Garden. It was like Olive Burger. I just hadn't seen that open up yet.
I was in a Dollar Burger band that Dollar Burgered it. Like, if we were out for 3 weeks, like, you spent like $5 a day on food, and it was five different burgers.
Man. Mm-hmm. After every show, it was like gangbangs at Mickey D's.
I don't think people know what a gangbang is. That's going to come across badly.
I think everyone here knows
if
what a gangbang is.
You just say gangbangs at Mickey D's.
Is it something other than porn?
Gangbangs? No, you do that to Grimace.
There's a
two
special
pieces of meat.
Sandwich you can ask for. It's on the menu. And if you ask for it, if you say,
three
can
total
I have
pieces
a Mick gangbang, they'll be like, you're not supposed to call it that. But they'll still give it to you.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I'll go buy Mickey D's on the way home. Mick gangbang?
Mick gangbang.
They'll say it. And sometimes they'll be like, all right, I'll get that for you.
Yeah.
McGangbang.
It's a burger patty.
They love it.
A McDouble burger patty between two hot and spicy.
No, it's one hot and spicy chicken.
Oh, it's
in between two nice.
Oh, it's been a while.
I thought that was that thing from KFC that I always threaten I'm gonna get, which is
the
thing
down
between
down.
The
there's a double down.
Have you jammed that?
Bang.
Have you rocked that? Have you rocked the? Has anyone on this panel rocked the double down?
I did.
Aaron.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well,
you almost raised me,
in college, I had a house with some guys, and we threw parties all the time, and we were like, decided to have a party when that came out because they were like advertising it. They were like, April 19th, KFC double down.
Yeah.
It's KFC. And
you would have thought it would come out on April 20th.
Yeah, they did it the day before, so all the stoners would remember the next day. Oh, fuck, we missed it, man.
Well, maybe it was April 20th. Could have been.
Probably
was.
Probably April 20th.
Yeah, okay, April 20th.
Yeah.
And then and we watched this movie called Poultrygeist.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
Yeah, and we, like, our friend had a projector, and he brought it over, and we all got double downs. The night ended way earlier than it was supposed to.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of sodium in a double down. Like, that's a lot of sodium.
Yeah.
Dan.
That's a whole lot of sodium.
My tongue shriveled up like a slug when I took a bite out of that thing. I had this like chewed gum tongue, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know that weird like jagged. Salt thing. Yeah.
I can still feel it today, Johnny.
Charlie, what do you have going on? What do you have coming up on the Hodgecast? Any guests that people might know?
Aren't you having me come on there sometime soon?
You should.
That's right. We just worked out a 4-show deal, but not in a row.
Did he just become your George Segal?
I don't know. Is that the sci-fi guy?
No, that's your guest that you call. Or you text him and say, hey, come on to the show today, podcast today. Yeah, exactly.
Johnny!
I was getting jealous. I was like...
JG!
I was getting... JG. Yeah, JG. So he'll be on there.
Yeah, we got
Tasty
plans.
Podcast Network has a lot of podcasts. Our friend John Toll, our friend Lucas have shows on there. I have a show on there that will be on there when everyone comes back.
Yeah, what'd you say last time?
We have two episodes.
Someone's gone into deep space to orbit Mars for a few years.
No, what
Hit
happened
some weird
was
excuses. You're like someone's not like wanna bit off a toe.
Listen to this, okay? This podcast is super easy because it's just me dealing with me, right? So, I talked to Charlie when he started the thing, and I started a new podcast with one of my very best friends, Einar. He's the bass player for Kelly Clarkson. She had a baby, so he has the year off, so he's going to be home. So I'm like, hey, let's start this thing. So you know Ashley Bergeron?
Yes.
So we're like, hey, let's get Ashley, and we'll do this thing. So we sit down, we figure it out, we get Ashley on board, and Einar finds out he has cancer in his kidney, and they have to have it removed immediately. So 6 weeks later, he's better. My grandpa starts dying. I go and hang out in Houston where we're supposed to record him. Then as soon as after the funeral, we get together and do two shows, recorded him, and then Einar took off on tour with the Fray, and then Ashley went to Europe with Elijah. And now I'm just waiting for everyone to be home. That's all. I'm not lying. I'm not making
I don't
up
think
excuses.
You are
There's
lying.
There's death.
And no, nobody's denying that. Nor,
okay, good.
Nor,
but it is a lot of excuses. I've never experienced something with so many like road humps.
You die until life makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you got a road.
Everybody doesn't know when they're laughing.
That's,
they're like,
that shirt is not gonna work out there. How do people find those shirts?
I think you have to die first.
No, not the die. Just your
Whole
merchandise.
Earth, Whole Earth Provision Company did a whole deal where they had baby onesies that said "Laugh and play until life makes sense." There was T-shirts there. I don't know if it's the economy or whatever. You know, because you know Benghazi and the economy. You know, what I'm saying. Fucked everything up. I'm just saying, I don't know what happened, but there are T-shirts for sale.
Have you been watching Hillary Clinton interviews like I have?
No, I'm just joking.
She just put out a book.
I just don't believe any of that. I'm just saying, man, it's thinking about laughing. You can, you know, if
Google
I have
it.
Some T-shirts and you see me, you can buy one. All if right. not, good luck. You know? It's a supply and demand, you know.
T-shirt business is hard.
It's hard, man. Bumper sticker business
Snatch
is hard.
Snatch T-shirts doing okay?
Well, I still got a buttload of those. I think my parents' house is still full of my brother and I's first T-shirt venture, Lazy Brothers T-shirts. It was when the war was just getting started in Iraq in like 2003. And I would
like
go down
the first
street.
First war or the second one?
Or this would have been, that'd be the second one, obviously. But there are signs in all the yards where it's like, war is not the answer. And, you know, it was a very succinct point, but we made T-shirts that said, war is the answer on the front, and on the back it said, if you're asking who sang Lowrider.
War!
Sold about 150 of those over the next 6 years.
I'll take one of those.
You want one?
Yeah.
All right.
I would wear one of those.
You're going to hold the ladder for me to get them out of the storage crawl space that they are now in. I know, now they'd be totally cool. Back then, you couldn't just build a website. It was like 03. It was still like, yeah, you can have new ones in Java and all this. So I was like, oh, I'm just like, I can't sell T-shirts online. You got to be one of the big guys, big T-shirt people to do that.
Yeah.
It's ahead of my time, Johnny.
There you go. Tastypodcast.com. You can find the Hodgecast there and all sorts of things. Graham Wilkinson Music. You can buy many albums, including his latest, Ethos. And now to Sphinx. you guys will be playing tomorrow night, Saturday, June 21st, at Stubbs. And you will be out on the road playing the South until the 28th.
Until the 28th.
Many places in Arkansas.
Two places in Arkansas. We're doing Tulsa, Shreveport, and Fort Worth. So a lot of cities we've been before.
If we make it out of Arkansas, of course.
Yeah.
You will.
And then we'll be announcing a lot of cool stuff probably in July. We're coming out with like our first vinyl record, 7-inch.
Oh, awesome.
And that is going to be, we're working with Punctum Records on that.
Great.
Who's done like one of our favorite local bands, Corey Records, and Majors on that label.
Oh, cool.
Mother Falcons on that label.
Love Mother Falcon.
A couple, I mean, like Roger Sellers, just like some really cool, awesome talents on that label. And so we'll be announcing that at some point pretty soon, and then doing a lot more touring. And then we have the Austin City Limits Festival.
Oh, you got
coming up.
That's right.
Damn. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Way to go.
What do
you
know
playing,
when you're playing?
We're just going to break in.
We're going. We saved up to buy tickets this year.
Much.
We're going to say we're playing, but we all got wristbands.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. If y'all are
I'm playing the Austin City Limits Music Festival too.
Are you?
I'm just going to sneak in behind them.
You play festivals? No.
No. What new Sphinx.
Yeah.
Austin City Limits. And the new announcement, July. I'm just getting y'all back
July.
On track.
Oh, back on track. Oh, thank you.
He's
keeping us in check.
I interrupted all the shit, so sorry.
It's okay. Benghazi. That was a total freeze up, wasn't it? I can't believe.
Corey's got to pee real quick. So.
I do too.
Oh, I'm about to piss in my pants. Cheater! Bow down to her.
Well, you guys can find out about Sphinx, and you can get their first album, Altered Beast. No,
Human Beast.
Human Beast. Sorry, yeah. that's a Matthew Sweet album. Sorry, Human Beast.
Great songwriter.
Yes,
Great songwriter.
All
right,
everyone's leaving.
This is like a TV show. Looking for them,
you can find out about them at sphinxmusic.wix.com. That's sphynxmusic.wix.com. All your stuff is up there. You can get Hunger, the new single, and you can find the What Is Love?
Free.
Is that a single?
Yeah, we have a free download. If you just go, it works if you type in just sphinxmusic.com too.
Yeah.
And on our SoundCloud page, we have a free download of our What Is Love cover and our new single. And then we'll be announcing, we're going to do a vinyl release party in Austin. We're still figuring that out, but that'll happen probably before we leave for our West Coast tour in August. So
a lot of stuff coming up. Thank you, all of you, for coming. Charlie in the bathroom, Corey in the bathroom, Graham Wilkinson, Todd, and Aaron from Sphinx.
Johnny
Thank you guys
Gowdy,
so much
everybody.
For coming out.
Johnny Gowdy. Thanks for
Johnny,
having us,
Johnny,
man.
Johnny.
You can throw up some music if you want. I don't know.
Just play your theme song.
Really flat.
Okay. Thank you guys. Charlie.